Live from the Next Title Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI. If you're talking about it,
it's always about the money. Everything else is just conversation.
We're talking about it.
No excuses. Just find a way to get it done.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
Top of the morning, Paul J. and Chris on a Wednesday morning. Mark Helfrich fired as head coach at the University of Oregon 2 years after taking him to the national championship game. Is that fair? Did you see the Oregon press release, Chris?
I did not.
Last four paragraphs, short. Helfrich helped recruit and groom quarterback Marcus Mariota. This is a school's release.
Mm-hmm.
Helped recruit and groom quarterback Marcus Mariota, who won the 2014 Heisman Trophy while leading the Ducks to the national title game. But the Ducks had to rely on graduate transfers in both 2015 and 2016. Vernon Adams Jr. helped Oregon reach the 2015 Alamo Bowl, but was hurt just before halftime and could only watch as the... Now, this is their release.
Yeah.
As the Ducks squandered a 31-0 lead. Dakota Prulap won twice to open the 2016 season before giving way to true freshman Justin Hebert in the midst of an ensuing five-game losing streak. Oregon's first loss of 2016 was at Nebraska, a 35-32 defeat in which the Ducks went for two after all five of their touchdowns, only converting once. The next week, Pac-12 play began with a loss to Colorado in which the Ducks allowed 41 points and threw an interception on a potential game-winning TD pass in the final minute. This is a school's release.
Yeah.
The recently completed season also included one-sided losses to Washington, Southern California, and Stanford. An upset of number 11 Utah on November 19th kept alive Oregon's hopes of making a bowl despite a 5-7 record, but the loss in the Civil War at Corvallis ended that. What do you think of that?
To me, that sounds like what the athletic director said to Mark Helfrich right before he fired him.
Man, that...
Here are the reasons, quarter by quarter, broken down from the season.
That's incredible.
But yeah, one bad season, and he's gone. Even after tremendous success. But I guess they feel that he had tremendous success with the previous coach's recruits.
Yeah.
And couldn't get any of his own.
Yeah. Helfrich's firing also forces Oregon to embrace a pool of coaching candidates lacking in star power. There's no reason to think Kelly would embrace a return to Oregon, Chip Kelly. After just one season with the San Francisco 49ers, the program's options are to entice a sitting Power 5 coach, perhaps a Dan Mullen from Mississippi State.
They were also 5-7.
Now, that bring up what you said
or
just
Jim
a second
McElwain
ago.
Or Jim from Florida.
That brings up a question. Do you think Chip Kelly will be looking for a job?
Yeah, he's not exactly having the most successful season
with the 49ers
in NFL history. Or they could dip into the group of five, whether Western Michigan's P.J. Fleck or Boise State's Brian Harsin. The case against Helfrich had already been litigated before Tuesday. Supporters point to a young team, true. A new defensive scheme, true, didn't work. An unproven quarterback, true, didn't work. A run of injuries and a one-year plummet in production. Detractors highlight the Ducks' swoon since Marcus Mariota's
again,
departure from the after the 2014 season.
Again, the press release from...
No, this is not
okay.
The press release.
Okay.
There's even a precedent. Auburn, remember this?
Yeah.
Fired Gene Chizik 2 years after he won the national title, following a precipitous drop from the top of the SEC to the bottom of the West.
Well, you know, those programs are... are like the Boise State program in that they expect to be, you know, maybe undefeated or have one loss at most all season,
yeah,
every single year. And that's probably, you know, it doesn't happen that often. I mean, Alabama's doing it right now.
Yeah.
But virtually no other team in the entire NCAA is.
And they've so all fired coaches.
But they're just expecting an awful lot out of these people in a short period of time. But on the other hand, they are giving them millions of dollars to do it.
The buyout, his buyout is $11.2 million.
Yeah, I think I'd go.
$11.2 million.
I'd go, too.
Yeah. But, they, you know, when they fired Chizik, Gus Malzahn got him to the national championship the very next year. It says, the reach of Tuesday's decision extends far beyond Oregon. This is in the USA Today. We'll tell you how far it extends. 8:45, time for a final traffic check.
Remember, you are listening to Idaho Talks Live on 670 KBOI.
All right, talking about the football coaches, about another segment here. Mark Helfrich fired 2 years after reaching the national championship game. I'm not defending Helfrich. I know him a little bit personally. If you're a college coach, take note. If Helfrich can be fired, again, the USA Today, after one losing season, 2 seasons after the finest year in program history, after coaching the program's only Heisman winner with an eight-figure buyout, so can anyone else. It's the pathetic part of this business without question, Washington coach, former Boise State coach Chris Peterson said yesterday. It's the nature of the business. That's what it is. There are obvious exceptions. Not many. Nick Saban, Jim Harbaugh, Urban Meyer, and probably Peterson himself. But there are only so many coaches with that level of security. The rest are just one season away from the hot seat in a profession that grows more and more absurd and as demands for immediate and lasting success become more and more prevalent. And we've heard that here. Boise State 10-2 this year, Chris. Mm-hmm. And all you heard after the loss to Air Force Academy was complaining.
Yeah. Well, people were
hot. Terrible play calling.
That's what it was. People were talking about play calling, which I guess that would come back to the head coach, would it not?
Well, even when Chris Peterson was here, remember the Robert Prince debacle?
Sure.
Yeah. Over and over. I mean, nobody. Sports fans are the worst. They're the absolute worst when it comes to supporting your coach.
They're fickle.
Yeah.
However, now, in this day and age, though, big-time NCAA football is about
money.
Money.
Money, money, money.
And that's all it's about, for the most part.
Coaching is lucrative.
As far as the universities and the NCAA are concerned, that's all it's about. And so, if you are in a position to either make or not make your university millions of dollars, if you have a losing season, chances are they'll find somebody else just like that.
Yeah. It's lucrative, but it's also absurd, driven solely by one question: what have you done for me lately?
Yeah.
2 years ago is irrelevant. Today is what matters. And today, Oregon is dealing with a fallout from their first losing season since 2004.
Well, that's a pretty good run.
Yeah. Today, it's Helfrich. Tomorrow could be anyone else. It's an idea that has come to pervade the entire profession. If we're not winning big, winning titles, playing for championships every season, then we'll, by God, find somebody else who will. At its most basic level, this is absolutely absurd. Helfrich is merely the latest example, but he won't be the last coach to first lose his accumulation of goodwill, then his job for failing to match the unmatchable standard for success that he helped create.
Yeah.
I mean, he helped create it. But it's funny. Coaches are funny. And I've worked around them. I did play-by-play for 35 years, been around coaches for 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, most of them, it's like they can't leave the profession. Dan Hawkins, a good example.
Yeah, he just got a new job this week.
He got a buyout of Colorado, has enough money, doesn't, you know, really doing stuff for ESPN.
And he's going to be the new head coach at UC Davis, his alma mater.
Yeah, probably for less money than he could make somewhere else.
But he started there. He played there. He was Chris Peterson's coach there.
Mm-hmm. Had tremendous success at Boise State.
Yeah, coaches
had not much success at
Colorado.
Trying to turn around the program at Colorado, which was terrible at that time.
Yeah, and people, you know, somebody said to me yesterday, yeah, the coaches leave here with the exception of Peterson, they go nowhere. I said, I don't know. Dirk Cutter 6-5 at Tampa Bay just beat the Seattle Seahawks last weekend. I think he's doing okay.
Good point.
And that's what they said. Oh, forgot about him. Yeah,
and then Dan Hawkins, I mean, after he left Colorado, he was a broadcaster for the different ESPN games and things for a few years, and also was hired briefly as the head coach in the Canadian Football League of the Montreal Alouettes.
Yeah, and was negotiating for the offensive coordinator position at Florida International.
Yeah.
When he got hired by David.
And the reason I say briefly coach at Montreal was because he was hired before the season and let go before the season.
Yeah. Wasn't good. Well, don't feel too bad for Mark Helfrich. His buyout, $11.2 million to be paid between now and 2020. 4 years. Pretty good pay.
Yeah, if that were me, I think I would be in the wind.
Yeah. We'll talk about more serious things, unless you're a coach.
Yeah.
After a news break at the top of the hour.
We are 670 KBOI Boise.
A Cumulus station.
It's 9 o'clock. KBOI News starts now.
Deadly fires and weather. Trump's Treasury pick. I'm Evan Haining. Severe storms killed 5 people in Alabama and Tennessee overnight. And correspondent Jennifer Gray reports that in Tennessee, 3 people have died and 14,000 have been evacuated from fires still raging near Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge.
Among so much tragedy, there is such an overwhelming sense of community and hope. And one more glimmer of hope. It has been raining all night and then has been raining off and on today, which is a great help to the firefighters.
It's official. Donald Trump will nominate Steven Mnuchin as Treasury Secretary. Correspondent Sarah Murray.
This is a guy who was his campaign finance chairman, who's been a close economic advisor. He also was a Goldman Sachs banker. He made some money off the mortgage industry at a time when plenty of people were going through foreclosure, so you can expect that to come up in a Senate confirmation hearing.
House Democrats are choosing their leadership team for the next Congress as Tim Ryan challenges Nancy Pelosi for minority leader. The Dow is up 63 points. I'm Evan Haining. The Dakota Access Pipeline protest continues. Correspondent Sarah Seidner reports on the latest statements by law enforcement and North Dakota Governor Jack Dalrymple.
The governor has said he wants the camp evacuated. He's ordered an evacuation. There was also some word from law enforcement that they were going to stop people from being able to come in and out of the camp and stop supplies. But then they sort of backtracked on that, saying, look, we're worried about the weather. We may ticket people, but we're not going to actually stop people from moving in and out and bringing in, for example, food.
Grant Tinker has died. Tinker is best known for the shows created by MTM, the company he founded when married to Mary Tyler Moore. They included The Mary Tyler Moore Show, The Bob Newhart Show, Rhoda, and Hill Street Blues. Tinker was 90. And Michael Jim Delgatti has died at age 98. He invented McDonald's signature Big Mac hamburger nearly 50 years ago. I'm Evan Haining.
If you're talking about it,
it's always about the money. Everything else is just conversation.
We're talking about it.
No excuses. Just find a way to get it done.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho. 670 KBOI.
Paul J. and Chris, we are back. President-elect Donald Trump tweeted this morning he's leaving his multi-million-dollar businesses to focus on being president, a change from comments he made in the past about being able to juggle both, which raised eyebrows. Now, I suppose you could have a business and still be president. Can you think of a president who kept a business while he was president?
None come to mind.
Lawyers.
You know, the Carters didn't sell their farms.
But they also didn't run them.
Jimmy Carter also didn't run them when he was president. And going back. No, none come to mind.
Some were lawyers, of course. And, you know, when you're a lawyer, you're a lawyer. You just don't practice
for
4 years while you're in the Oval Office.
Exactly.
So anyway, Trump said and hit running multi-million dollar, multi-level business is not the same as, you know, being a lawyer.
Right.
Because it probably, I would imagine...
Yeah, he didn't include
all of his time.
He didn't include a bunch of details like how he plans to remove himself from all the Trump businesses.
He says, I'll leave my great businesses in total in order to fully focus on running the country in order to make America great again.
Yeah.
This came out in a series of tweets, which he is wont to do.
And he said, while I am not mandated to do this under the law, I feel it is visually important as president to in no way have a conflict of interest with my various businesses.
Interesting so, concept. Visually important.
Visually is practically the same thing as symbolically. It just shouldn't look wrong.
No, I think he's doing the right thing. He said legal documents, which were being drafted that would take him completely out of business operations and added his presidency, is far more important. Apparently, he's going to leave the companies to his kids, or the running of the companies to his kids.
Yeah. I guess he figures he can trust them.
Trump transition spokesman, hopefully, huh?
Yeah, well.
Jason Miller told Fox News he spoke with the president-elect about the move. One of the things he made clear on both Twitter and in our conversation, he's so focused on taking over as president, Miller said on Fox and Friends, he's completely getting out of the business, handing it over to the family, and he'll be fighting for the American people around the clock. Sounds good.
Yeah. Well, and the deal is he owns 500 companies.
Yeah.
So there's a lot going on there.
Yeah, it's not like, you know, yeah, I own the McDonald's down on the coast. No.
A lot of times they say, well, we're going to put everything into a blind trust.
Yeah.
All right. Now, the trouble with that, though, is a trust can't be a blind trust if you know who's running it and what assets are in it. You understand?
Yeah.
Okay. So this isn't anything like a blind trust. And again, there are no legal issues if he hands the reins to the children. But there are people who still think it comes off as shady. But I don't know what they expect him to do.
Yeah, what, sell them? No, you don't want to do that. Because presidency is 4 or 8 years. It's not forever.
Yeah.
Trump said previously he would leave his business to his three eldest children, Donald Jr., Eric, and Ivanka, though it wasn't clear if that was still the case.
But again,
he didn't say that.
It's standard for them to put their assets into a blind trust, but apparently it's not required. Yeah. It's just that there are a lot of people who criticize that sort of thing who are saying, well, you should definitely do that. But I don't know. You might feel differently if you ran a $1 billion empire or multi-billion-dollar empire anyway.
Yeah, if you accumulated all that wealth, you're probably a little reticent to hand it over. You know, if you accumulated,
yeah,
you'd probably be a little reticent to hand it over to me because, you know, I'm not...
Well, and
the sharpest tool in the shed.
Like immediately, you know, they were talking about the fact that he's trying to put a building in Argentina. And so it's easy for him at this point to, you know, call up the president of Argentina and say, hey, how's that going? But that's business. That's not presidential business.
Yeah, true. True stuff. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Rich of Boise, if I can find my phone here. I moved it. Let's go to Rich of Boise. Rich, good morning.
Well, the reason why presidents have done that, because that building in what you just talked about in Argentina is presidential business, because mm-hmm. the decisions that the president makes can influence business. I mean, and the deals that are about to happen that he can tip people off for, and he can make political decisions based on how it influences his company. That's why they put him in a blind trust. That's why presidents have been doing this. It isn't a requirement, and they do. They sell off their assets and put their assets in a blind trust is right. I don't know how long presidents have been doing this. And that's why, just so it doesn't look sleazy, because, a president knows a lot of things that are going on. He knows when there's going to be treaties, and so he would know, and they know things about the economy that people don't know. They can tip their business office stuff, and, you know, putting it in your children's name is not a blind trust, and you know, because he's still going to talk to his children. I mean, it just sets up a big mess, is what it does. And the thing about it is, it's a private company, so we won't even know what kind of deals are made because of what the president is, because we have no way of looking at the assets. I mean, look how they've been complaining about the Clinton Foundation. Well, the Clinton Foundation is a public company, so we can look and see what's going on. Their books are open to the public. This isn't even like this. I mean, this is just kind of a big mess.
Are you saying you expect Trump to do things crookedly, or are you saying that it just sets it up for him to do that?
Well, why wouldn't he? But we would never know. I mean, why wouldn't he tip off his children to help him or make decisions that help his business? I mean, why wouldn't he do that? I would actually expect him to do that. I would kind of expect about anybody to do that. I mean, if you made decisions, it's just kind of how it works. You know, people do have their interests and the interests of their families at heart and above other things, and they would help them whenever they could. I mean, I would expect anybody. You know, it would be really difficult not to do things to help influence and help your family and your business. Let's put it that way. That would be a very difficult thing to do, even if you weren't aware necessarily that you were doing it. You know what I mean? It's just,
yeah.
It's kind of a mess.
Okay, thanks for the call, Rich. Ethically, morally, it's insider trading, right, Chris? It's kind of the wrong thing to do.
It has the potential for insider trading because, yes, the president is privy to a lot of things that the public is not.
We've not had a president with this kind of business acumen before. I mean, it's just simply not happened.
Now, on the other side of that, we have not had a president, okay, going back to, well, Kennedy, I guess, didn't profit from being president, but every other president has. They have come out of the presidency a lot more well off than when they went in.
True. Yeah, almost every president since Truman, I think, yeah, with the exception of Kennedy. KBOI News Time, 9:15. All right, we are back, Paul, Jay, and Chris. Let's go back to the phones. Daryl of Boise. Daryl, good morning.
Hello, good morning, Paul, Jay.
How are you?
Hey, been great. I've been a big fan of you since, Voice of the Broncos. But I have to comment on the blind trust, conflict of interest with the business thing. You know, I feel like it should be a non-issue. It's just a typical talking point of mainstream dog-dragging kike media. And, I mean, it's just such a... It's just such a typical thing, you know.
Well, and you know, and this is people saying that Trump should head off these problems before they happen, and Trump is more likely to just take each problem as it shows up.
Right. Exactly. I mean, you know, it's just like, I mean, Wolf Blitzer, you know, Jake Tapper, all these other Jews. They have something that they always have to get their 2 cents in. I mean, the Zog Dragon Talk Media is real. They always just want to destroy Trump's family.
All right.
Well, it hasn't worked so far.
Not in.
All right. Thanks. Thanks, Daryl. So Daryl thinks there's
not really entirely sure
subterfuge
that one of his reasons in there was the entire reason. But.
Okay. Yeah. The rewards code today: business BUS.
INESS.
I was looking at this other word: business BUSINESS. Go to 670 KBOI. Enter business and go to spell check. All right, Randy of Magic Valley. Randy, good morning.
Yes, gentlemen. You know, I guess we could assume that everybody that is a politician is a lying SOB. And
I didn't like that by Rich, where he basically indicated that and he didn't say just Trump. He said anybody. I mean, don't people have morals anymore? Don't they have ethics?
God, I would hope so. You know, this is the thing. Does anybody care more about the country than their own personal gain? Well, maybe Donald Trump does, just a little. Just a tiny bit, Rich. You know, I don't know. The thing of it is we get so cynical to the point where the negative puts us all in the crapper, you know? And so you say to yourself, maybe, just maybe, reaching out to Mitt Romney is a way to bring the party together. I don't like it, but maybe that's what needs to be done. He's hired Mitch McConnell's wife for the transportation secretary. I'm not hired,
see,
but
see, now that seems strategic, doesn't it? I mean, if he gets Mitch McConnell on his side, my guess is he will get a lot more done.
Well, think of it this way. If you get these people in there, like Trump has said, if you listen to him speak, now nobody ever seems to do this, but I must be the only fool in town who does. And he says, listen, when I get people in my office, we get things done. And I believe it. Now look at Ford. They already changed their mind. They're not going to move to Mexico. Carrier has changed their mind. They're going to stay or whatever, however that works. This is one more point, and I'm going to hang up. Yesterday at the top of the hour, you know, whether or not it was your station or whatever, it was probably Rush Limbaugh on your station, and they said, consumer confidence is higher than it's been in 9 years. So we've had 8 years of Obama. At the end of Bush, you know, that was becoming very bad. And so when you have business owners and people who work, and the consumer confidence is up higher than it's been in 9 years, you know what people do when they have confidence in what's going to come with the future?
They buy stuff.
They spend money. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Yeah. All right. Well, and that's true.
While he was talking, just let me interject here. A couple of business bulletins came up on CNBC. The Dow has hit an all-time record high, and the S&P 500 has hit an all-time record high.
Yeah. But I think if you ask the average person how they feel about Trump, I mean, of course, a lot of people will hate him forever, and some people just absolutely adore him. But I think people that are more neutral, if you said, well, how do you think Trump's going to do on foreign policy? They might say, I don't know. You know, this is worrisome and this is worrisome. Well, how do you think he's going to do as far as business deals? Oh, just fine.
Yeah. And
I don't think anybody really worries about that.
Maybe it's time for a little of that, huh?
Possibly.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to see what happens. And
I don't think there have been any really good deals made by the United States in the Middle East for about 20 years.
Yeah, long time.
And that goes back through two different kinds of administrations.
Yeah, it does. So, I don't know. You know, you get so bogged down in talking politics, but it's interesting. And this is basically the dead zone. You know, the last mm-hmm. after between Thanksgiving and Christmas, as far as news goes.
Yeah. Well, and you don't
dead zone.
When was the last time you heard President Obama doing anything? Just, you know, a couple of times where he's made a speech and said, well, Trump better not do this. And that's about it.
KBOI News Time, 9:26.
KBOI News Time, it's 9:30. Good morning, I'm Rick Worthington. Mitt Romney praising President-elect Donald Trump following a dinner meeting last night.
Trump, Romney, and Reince Priebus were greeted with applause from the patrons seated at Jean Georges restaurant inside the Trump International Hotel at Columbus Circle in Manhattan. The moment was captured on video by CNN's Jim Acosta, who was seated a few tables away. They appeared to enjoy each other's company as they had a conversation in the very public venue, according to those in the room. Romney spoke in the lobby of Trump Tower afterwards.
We had another discussion about affairs throughout the world, and these discussions I've had with him have been enlightening.
No indication was given about whether Romney is still a strong contender for Secretary of State. Steve Kastenbaum, New York.
House Democrats will meet today choosing their leadership team. Nancy Pelosi favored to win, but Bob Constantini reports she does face a challenge.
Nancy Pelosi has been the House Democrats' leader for 14 years. She was Speaker for four, Minority Leader the last six. Pelosi faces a serious enough challenge from Tim Ryan of Ohio, as in Middle America. Ryan on NBC's Meet the Press, rattling off the party's losses to the GOP.
Money is not the answer. It's message, messenger, and it's about winning. We can't have a standard in the Democratic Party that we're going to accept being down 63 seats. I mean, 33 governorships, 31 secretaries of state, 69 of 99 state legislators.
That's a reference to GOP control of chambers in the state legislatures. Bob Costantini, Washington.
And the clock is ticking for protesters fighting against the Dakota Access Pipeline you've heard so much about. U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, though, has issued a December 5th deadline for those to leave the campsite. But those protesters, remain defiant.
The CEO of the company building the Dakota Access Pipeline is trying to convince the protesters the project is safe.
This pipeline is being built where two existing pipelines exist today that were built through your state in 1982. We've not disturbed any historical sites.
But protesters say they're not budging. They say the pipeline could contaminate their water. The Morton County Sheriff's Department warned protesters Tuesday that they'll start blocking supplies and people from entering the campsite. A spokeswoman for the department later clarified that they'd only stick to punishing trespassers. I'm Yasmin Ammer.
Meanwhile, the U.S. government wants to hear what you have on complaints about auto safety.
If you want to make a complaint about an auto safety issue, as of now, you can let the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration know about it by telephone, internet, or mail. Now, NHTSA is proposing a rule that would require automakers to put labels in vehicles with instructions on how to file safety complaints. The labels would be glued to passenger visors and inform consumers their complaints could lead to an investigation or possibly a recall. The labels were actually required by Congress in 2012, but the agency said last year it didn't have enough people to thoroughly analyze the 75,000 complaints that came in. Scott Carr, Washington.
If you need another reason to hang out on Facebook, apparently your favorite arcade games are coming.
Facebook is opening up its Messenger app to outside game developers with some of the first titles including Pac-Man, Space Invaders, and Words with Friends. To play the games, users can tap an icon that looks like a video game controller in Messenger. The platform called Instant Games is the latest effort by Facebook Messenger to persuade its 1 billion users to spend more time on the service and create more opportunities to generate revenue down the line. I'm Sierra Crawford.
And on the theme of video games, Nintendo and Universal Studios are teaming up.
They want park guests to feel like they're inside some of their favorite games.
When you're transported into that world, and they stand there for a moment and see it in front of them as if they had just walked into their game platform. I think that's going to be a really exciting time.
Universal Creative President Mark Woodbury in a teaser video released Tuesday by Nintendo. Following in the footsteps of other themed attractions like Harry Potter and The Simpsons, the Nintendo experiences will feature characters like Mario and interactive activities, shops, and restaurants. No firm opening date, but the company says the attractions will open over the next several years. I'm Joe Ramsey.
Quick look at real-time numbers shows the Dow up 70 points. I'm Rick Worthington, 670 KBOI.
Live from the Next Title Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI. This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 3, listen to Nate on 670 KBOI.
Paul, Jane, Chris. On a Wednesday morning.
I got a quick instant message here. Yes, we've been talking about Trump and some different things that he's doing. Mike Boyce, he says, one alarming thing about Trump defenders is that they dismiss his unfulfilled campaign promises. The wall, deport 11 million, jail Clinton, as just what he had to do to win the election, as if lying to win is just normal.
What's the status of the wall? Now, the other two are gone.
Basically. Yeah, he has already essentially said that he's not going to go after Hillary Clinton for any reason.
Right. What was the middle one?
Deporting 11 million people.
He's not going to do that.
And the wall remains to be seen.
But. Yeah. But hasn't the biggest thing, I mean, wasn't the biggest thing he campaigned on getting rid of Obamacare?
Well, cleaning.
Or was that just a brick in a wall?
Cleaning out the swamp is what he's been saying lately.
Yeah.
You know, getting rid of the way things have been done in Washington that haven't worked,
mm-hmm.
and putting in a system that works a little better for everyone.
Yeah.
Now, you know, and it's like we said, the guy's been elected. Let's give him a chance. But, you know, there are plenty of people who aren't going to be willing to do that.
Yeah. CNN says President Donald Trump, President-elect Donald Trump, my mistake, is turning to a reliable stable of Republican and business world power brokers to fill out his administration, signaling he's looking to push his agenda using the political apparatus he famously pledged to dismantle. And there is some of that. Trump picked his top fundraiser and former Goldman Sachs banker, Steven Mnuchin, to the Treasury Department, pulling from a Wall Street world he once criticized as having total control over his campaign opponents. Wilbur Ross, a billionaire businessman, will be his commerce secretary.
Yesterday's announcements of Georgia Representative Tom Price to run the Department of Health and Human Services and Elaine Chao to lead the Department of Transportation added two more Washington movers and shakers to the Trump cabinet.
But I'm thinking there are some that he feels he can trust, and I think these are the people. You know, just because, you know, if you're the average viewer, the average, you know, person who's watching the whole thing, you may not trust these people, but I think he does, and there might be a better reason than you know.
Yeah, he pledged in his campaign to drain the swamp, but has repeatedly said he will look to people who understand the Capitol to help him govern. And I think...
Well, and that's a good idea. I mean, if you're going to drain a swamp, you get people who have been in a swamp before.
Yeah, but then you invite the alligators in. No, I'm just teasing you.
Get people who have fought alligators.
I agree with the premise that if you're going to drain the swamp, you have to have people who know how the swamp works.
But it's a good analogy, because if you have fought alligators and lived, then you're good at fighting alligators.
Yeah.
Or crocodiles.
Yeah, crocodiles. Yeah. Never. One of them has a bigger snout. I can't.
You know, when one's after you, it really doesn't matter which one it is.
No, that's true. Let's go to Steve of Boise. Oh, that doesn't work yet. Let's go here. Steve, good morning.
Oh, I hit the right button. Good
I
job,
did.
Paul,
I got it. New phone system, man.
Yeah, all the new and improved.
Yeah, right? New and improved, if you can figure it out.
New, anyway.
You know, I always was told if you want to drain the swamp, you better divert the water from the river, because the swamp is just the low-lying area, and the water will come right back to it unless you fix the source.
That's true.
And, you know, we've got to give this guy a chance. He's just making appointments now. Some of them may or may not be confirmed. They may or may not survive, you know, the first week.
Well, if he didn't get some support from the Republican Party, he would have just spun his wheels for 4 years.
Exactly. And that's what has to happen. You know, you've got to work with these people. But you know what? I trust the man's business acumen, because he didn't get where he is by being stupid. You know, you got to give people a chance to work. We didn't get to this point overnight. We're not going to get out of it overnight. And it's not going to... I don't expect great miracles to happen. I just expect that the trend will start changing. You know, I've always thought that if you want to change something, the first thing you should do is look in the mirror, and that will change not only your attitude, but your perspective. You know, we should be responsible for our own actions and for what we can change. And, you know, we can all complain, but what good does that do us? It gets us an ulcer. It puts us, makes us depressed.
And gets you banned from Delta Airlines.
Exactly. You know, we could go on for hours to what. But my point is, look in the mirror if you want to fix your own problem.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Government cannot save you. Only you can do that.
Very true. Thanks, Steve. Right.
Thanks, guys.
You know, that guy that got banned from Delta, technically he was just celebrating aggressively.
Yeah.
See, wasn't really complaining.
What we need is less anger, less meanness, and less aggression in our day-to-day. And this is not just a political statement. This is the overall attitude of people. What have we had in the last month? Three people in Idaho shot because of driving, you know, because of,
Road rage.
Road rage.
Yeah.
Yeah. It used to be, you know, they'd pull you over and shake your car. Now they shoot you. And one of them died. That was, you know, come on.
Shootings will do that.
Yeah, get a grip. Let's go to Jacob. Jacob, good morning.
Good morning.
It's on your mind.
I'd like to say, you know, I watch CNN. I listen to your show, Mr. Schneider. I listen to the Nate Shellman show, Michael Savage. I have to, you know, I just have to say they're all like sniveling, leery, hook-nosed kikes.
Say it again.
They're all sniveling, leering, hook-nosed kikes.
Okay, good enough.
That's just what I was talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, get over it. Let's go to Buck of Meridian. Buck, good morning.
Morning, guys. I'm a little disappointed in Trump's appointments as secretaries or the cabinet, in that he really missed an opportunity when he put Chao in there, transportation, when Governor Christie has certainly demonstrated his competence in that area, and he should have had that job hands down. So,
oh, yeah.
Thanks, guys.
You think he can take care of the bridges? Yes, I think he's proven he can take care of bridges.
Thanks a lot. Yeah. Oh, we needed that call.
Yeah, and he essentially brought up the reason that Christie will not be the Secretary of Transportation.
Yeah. KBOI News Time, 9:45.
A 19-year-old woman escapes nearly being kidnapped. We'll have more on that and other local news after the top of the hour on 670 KBOI. Right now, it's back to Paul, Jay, and Chris.
All right, Nancy Pelosi has been reelected as the House Democratic leader.
Well, that's disappointing.
In an election which took place moments ago. What'd you say? Is disappointing?
Yeah. That was the first word that popped into my head.
Yeah.
You don't want to hear what the second, third, and fourth were.
No, because we have this beeper that.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're talking about what the Democratic Party needs to do, or the Democrat Party, if you're Rush Limbaugh, what they need to do is get some young blood, some new blood. The Pelosi's, the Harry Reid's are killing this party. But they just elected Nancy Pelosi as House Democratic leader.
Yeah, that's probably not...
that's all I can say.
That's not the first step toward that particular goal.
It's not the first step toward recovery or whatever you want to call it.
Changing.
Yeah, changing of the Democratic Party. You got to go... I'm sorry. You got to get younger people involved in the Democratic Party, because... How old's Nancy Pelosi? 70?
I'm not sure how old she is.
Harry Reid's in his 70s. He's retiring, though, right? He's in his last term. Is that right?
I think so.
I think so. But you got to get some young blood in there. Your Democratic presidential candidate was 67. And the
runner-up was 74.
I know, and Trump's older than both.
Nancy Pelosi?
Older than one, yes.
Old Nancy Pelosi.
76.
76.
Okay, even older than Bernie Sanders.
So, yeah, and Donald Trump and whatever. But Trump's at least energetic. Well,
you know, and here's the deal, too. If you want to recruit younger people, you have to get younger people to do it.
Exactly.
Now, you don't necessarily need to have, you know, people in their 20s and 30s making all the decisions for the party.
But you have to see them from time to time.
Yeah, I mean, and there can be a lot of mentoring and things like that. But it's nice to have at least the faces of the party.
Yeah.
Be somebody who, you know, is capable of recruiting.
Okay, say it
not
this
somebody
way.
Who just turns off everybody.
Nice to see the faces of the party be unwrinkled.
I wouldn't even go that far necessarily. Okay. I would just say that they need to be somebody needs to be a good spokesman. Like you're generally, if you own a company and you hire someone to do a commercial for you, it's going to be somebody that people like already.
Yeah.
Well, find somebody.
Yeah, they need. And can you think of a President Obama was young, mm-hmm. energetic.
Mm-hmm. And he became very popular very fast.
Became very popular with. Can you think anybody else in the Democratic Party that fits that description?
Not off the top of my head, but there could be several. They just haven't stepped forward yet.
Yeah. Well, they need to.
It's not just a Democrat problem. It's the Republicans as well. True. However,
the Republicans are fighting among themselves. I mean, there's no doubt that they're not in the catbird seat. Both parties need help. They need to represent America.
No, they do have
president.
Pretty much all of Congress and the presidency.
So there's
a possibility to get a lot done.
Yeah. Let's go to Mike of Boise. Mike.
Good morning.
Morning.
Hey, a couple fast things. You know, with the so-called interest problems with President-elect Trump.
Sure.
You know, we've never had an individual that has been elected to the office of president that has been that successful in business.
True.
And I think this is more of a perceived thing with the national media than anything, and you'll have to take him at his word. But again, nobody's been that successful. The other thing, and I just heard where Pelosi was reelected, that's the best things that could happen for the Republicans.
No question.
And Harry Reid, of course, is gone in a month.
Yep.
And that type of thing. But I've already noticed that now the Democrats are saying, oh, you need to have the 60 vote to get something through the Senate. But when the Democrats were in charge 2 years ago, if you remember, they used what was called the nuclear option, which means you just needed 51 votes.
Yep.
And hopefully the Republicans, and I really concerned that the Republicans, and I am a Republican, don't do the same stupid thing and try to, well, it's the Senate, and it's, and McCain's the worst one of it. It's the institution of the Senate. No, we won. We won both sides. Now do something with it, because if the Republicans don't, that will be the end of the Republican Party.
Yeah, you know, strike while the iron is hot, and it's certainly hot right now.
Yep. Have a good day.
All right, thanks. You know, you got to throw in the Supreme Court, because the Supreme Court will swing to conservatism, no doubt, at some point in President Trump, when he becomes president. Well, in his administration.
I remember when people didn't necessarily count on already knowing the way the Supreme Court was going to vote.
Yeah.
You know,
those days were fun.
The case would be presented, and then they would decide how they were going to rule.
And sometimes you were surprised.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
I'm thinking the way they set it up now. It's just, okay, our side wins, our side wins, our side wins.
On just about anything. And that, you know, they'll probably drag things up that other Supreme Courts have found, you know, not to their liking.
Mm-hmm.
Roe versus Wade, that kind of stuff, abortion, you know. Will they bring all that back? Maybe. Maybe.
It's kind of, you know, at this point, it's actually up to the Supreme Court.
That's true. Okay. Wednesday is at an end. Well, not really, but the show is.
Yeah.
It's 9:55, something to think about with Mike Rogers coming up next. Brought to you by Boise Church of Christ, where church is family. They're located at 2000 North El Dorado. Check them out Sundays at 10:30. See you tomorrow.
Now, something to think about with Mike Rogers.
Remember all that hubbub about Trump not accepting the election results? Well, looks like the tables have turned. Democrats joined the Green Party in calling for an expensive recount in Wisconsin and other states. Meanwhile, elected Republican members of the Electoral College are being harassed as cranky Democrats mount a last-ditch effort to keep Donald Trump out of the White House. Electors are set to meet December 19th in their home states to make the election results official. Normally, just a formality. But Republicans from Texas, Georgia, Idaho, and several other states are being inundated with emails and calls pressuring them to switch their votes to Hillary Clinton. One Michigan elector said he's been threatened with violence. One email said he was a hateful bigot and they hoped he died. Another talked about shoving a gun in his mouth and blowing his brains out. I'm still waiting for the media outrage from this effort to deny the results of a free election. Maybe I shouldn't hold my breath. Something to think about. I'm Mike Rogers.